Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our online service this week. Because of the coronavirus, we're not having a live service, but we will be recording the services and putting them on our website for people to download and listen to. I hope and pray that you and your family members are all doing well and can join together to listen and worship God in your homes. Let's begin now with the words of Matthew 11:28. Come, all that are weary, all that are carrying burdens so heavy, Jesus will give you rest. Come, take what Jesus has to offer: love, forgiveness, and grace. Christ will give you peace. Come, find rest and learn from Jesus, for your Savior will give you rest in your soul. Come, let's worship the Lord our God. Let us follow our Savior who leads us into life. Amen. Now, our scripture reading for today comes from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Let's pray before we read. Lord, as we listen to your word now, we pray that the Spirit will move to allow your words to speak to our hearts, to speak through the fear and worry, and give us comfort. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So far the reading. Seven words. That's the limit we've made. It's not that there's something magical about the number seven. We could have gone with 5 or 10 or even 18. The point is that we need to be prepared for the sake of those who are living and dying in sin, for the sake of our brothers and sisters who need to hear again the life-giving gospel, for the sake of our own understanding of God's love for us in Christ. We need a short, sweet, but substantive summary of the good news of salvation to keep with us and share with others. Now, this plan to be prepared is not my idea. It actually comes from God through the Apostle Peter. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. That's the Apostle's direction in 1 Peter 3:15. And that's what we're doing here during this season of Lent, which has become even just more appropriate with these coronavirus fears. We need to turn to God. We need to still prepare to celebrate Easter and Christ's resurrection, to confess the hope we have in Christ. The world needs it more than ever right now. Last week, or actually it was a couple of weeks now, last time, we considered a number of seven-word summaries of the gospel that I told you from an article I'd read. As I mentioned last time, none of these summaries say everything about Jesus and his work of salvation. That will be impossible. As John says in the last verse of his gospel, if we tried to describe everything Jesus did and said, there wouldn't be enough room in the world for all the books. But each of the summaries we considered last week tried to capture the heart of the good news in just a few words. Tonight, I'd like to take a closer look at the components of a faithful Christian confession. When we open our mouths to proclaim the good news, what are we going to say? Confessing the gospel begins in many ways by confessing something about ourselves. It begins by acknowledging who we are as confessors. And who are we? Who are you? How do you describe yourselves? Well, at our most basic, we are all creatures. We're all created. We're the handiwork of the Creator. As Psalm 139, verse 14 puts it, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's children, made in His image, the crown of His creation, His precious sons and daughters. But we're not always faithful sons and daughters. Fragile, yes. Fallen, for sure. Failing, every day. To confess the gospel, therefore, involves admitting something about our sin. It requires acknowledging that we actually need to be saved. And this is something a lot of people aren't willing to admit. In the article I talked about before, there were a number of good and faithful summaries of the gospel that I read to you. I'd like to look at a few of them more closely today. One of them is, in Christ, God's yes defeats our no. Or another one is, God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. Now notice in these two summaries that Jesus is central in each of them. The first one, in Christ, God's yes defeats our no, and it defeats it in Christ. And the second one, God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. In both cases, Christ is what's most important. But they also say something about us. To be more specific, they each point out that there's something wrong with us. The first, God defeats our no. And the second one, God welcomes us anyhow. So let's focus on the first of the summaries that I said. God's yes defeats our no. It's referring to our no to God's commands. That's our disobedience it's talking about. God speaks clearly in the scriptures, yet we so often disobey him. No also describes our response to God's promises. That's our lack of faith. God promises so much to us, yet our faith is often so weak. The little word no captures the many ways in which we turn away from God. Now let's look at the second one a bit more. God welcomes you anyhow. The anyhow reminds us that God will be entirely justified in not welcoming us back to himself at all. He'd be justified in all of us being sent to hell. Because we've all failed. We all don't keep his commands. We have given him many reasons to exclude us, from the way we treat one another to the way we expect him to just serve us and give us what we need sometimes. And to the way we even idolize ourselves. Make ourselves most important. That word, anyhow, is a confession that we have no right to ask anything of God. Both of these descriptions highlight that there is something about us that isn't right. And that's important because the gospel begins with the fact that this world and each of us in it is not right. Now, of course, at one time it was right. The whole world was perfectly right. You know, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they didn't need additional good news. Everything was already good. And it wasn't just good, it was very good. But ever since their no to God's command about eating fruit from the tree, things have been wrong. And I mean terribly wrong. The Old Testament is the story of the people of God going wrong over and over again. It's the story of people hurting themselves and others through their sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. It's a story that continues in your life and mine. And this is important for us to acknowledge. Even though we know, too often we don't actually acknowledge, consciously accept the truth of this. But if we're going to share the gospel with others, we need to acknowledge it. It leads us to confess humbly, for we are just as guilty as anyone else. We're just as guilty as any of the people we're trying to share the gospel with. This also helps us communicate to others why our beliefs about Jesus actually matter. Until people see and understand and believe there's something wrong with them, the idea that Jesus saves won't mean anything. They don't think something's wrong with them, they won't see a need for Jesus. So the first step in creating a description of the gospel in seven words is to think about how to convey that universal need for a savior. How do we tell people we all need God? It doesn't have to be the first thing we say, but it does have to be clear. After we've communicated the problem, the next step is simple and joyful. We preach Christ crucified and risen, Paul said. And that's good news. It is the good news that God has sent his son, Jesus, to save us from sin, from death, from the devil. But not just that. He also saves us from the meaningless, from loneliness, from brokenness. He restores us. He renews us. He recreates us. He brings us back to himself. The good news is that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the whole world to himself. Indeed, that's actually a seven-word summary right there. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. This summary picks up on 2 Corinthians 5. Listen again to what Paul wrote. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation that is in Christ God. Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. Now God, through the person of Jesus, came into the world to reconcile his creation to himself, to make things the way they should be, to right that which we had done wrong, to restore us as creatures, dearly loved by our Father, and completely and utterly forgiven through faith and in his Son. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. This summary of the gospel highlights the universal nature of Christ's work. He didn't just come to reconcile you. He didn't just come to reconcile me. He came for all people, all the world, to bring us all back to the Father. It's a message that really is meant for everyone. Now, it's true, this version of the gospel doesn't tell us everything we need to know about Jesus. Much needs to be unpacked, but it contains the heart of the good news. And it might provide a starting point for more conversations. This week, I'd like to ask you to do some of the work in creating your seven-word gospel. I want you to think about the people in your life who need to hear the good news of Jesus. Think about where they are in life. Think about your relationship with them. Think about our seven-word summary today. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. And remember that he came to reconcile them too. But don't limit your thinking to this particular way of speaking. You got to consider other ways of describing what God has done for us in Christ. Keep thinking about that. And as you do, jot down notes, those both meaningful things. Other ways we can help get ourselves thinking about our own understanding is to think about your favorite hymn or those hymns that really touch you the most. Is there one that, you know, when you sing, it always chokes you up? That might be a sign of something powerful. Look into that. How does that fit in? Read the Bible. Read your favorite passages. Take note of them. Once again, looking what touches you, because those parts of the Bible that you have a multiple connection to, then those can be used for your summary because they're meaningful to you. So during this week, I pray that we can do this together. We can all start working on our seven words and take notes. And next week, we'll take those notes and we'll add on it again as we continue to do this job of making our own summaries of the gospel. And I pray we can all take them and use them in our own lives as we tell others really where our hope comes from. That our hope comes from Christ and what he means to each of us. Amen. This time we're going to have prayer. So if you can bow your heads together, I'll lead us all in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know you are the God of love. We turn to you with prayerful hearts and with confidence in your loving presence among us now and in every moment of our lives. We stand before you as a people of hope, trusting in your care and protection. May we be comforted by your love in these anxious times. Generous and merciful God, fill us with compassion and concern for others, young and old, that we may look after each other in these challenging times, especially those among us who are vulnerable. May your example give us the courage we need to go to the margins, wherever they may be. Heal us of our fear. Help us to be your hands. Healing God, bring healing to those who are sick with the coronavirus. Be with their families and neighbors. We pray especially for those who are isolated, those who don't know your love. This is truly a scary time. Lord, we pray that you stay by our side in this time of uncertainty. O God of strength, accompany all those who serve us with such love and generosity in the medical fields and all our healthcare facilities. We give thanks for their continued work in the service of people. We ask you to bless them, strengthen them, and guide them with your abundant goodness. God of wisdom, we ask you to guide the leaders in healthcare and governments that they may make the right decisions for the well-being of all people. O God of creation and God of life, we, your people, place ourselves and our world in your protection and love. May your peace be with us and enfold us today, tomorrow, and during this tough time ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we come to the end of this service, I want you to leave with remembering this truth. that though individually we might be scared and unsure, together, whether in person or in spirit, together we are God's people. And as God's people, we are not a people of fear. We are people of courage. We are not people who just protect our own safety. We are people who protect our neighbor's safety as well. We are not people of greed. We are people of generosity. We are your people, God, giving and loving wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes, wherever you call us. Lord, we pray that you will keep all of us safe and show us those people who need our help. Go, knowing that you are loved by Jesus Christ, that you are saved by Jesus Christ, and that you are carried by Jesus Christ. Amen.